In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ. We have known this story since childhood, when many of us may have sung about the wee little man up in the tree. We hear this lesson every year in the church on the threshold of the preparatory Sundays for Lent. And as so often happens, familiarity often dulls our perception of what is there. And this story, in fact, is full of drama. This is a story that could easily have turned out very differently for this man Zacchaeus. See Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, consciously going there, knowing that he will be betrayed, knowing he will be lifted on the cross for the sin of the world. Yet Jesus on his way comes to Jericho, Zacchaeus' town. Now to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, Jesus did not have to go through Jericho, but he chose to go through that city. And there is a man named Zacchaeus, a Jew who has become a Roman official by being a tax collector, is despised and hated of his own people. Very possibly he was a dishonest one, most of them were. Not only that, he was short, which doesn't do much for the male ego. But Zacchaeus had a hunger, he had a longing to see Christ, and so he hears Christ is coming. Zacchaeus goes to meet him. Now Zacchaeus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to get up that morning, he could have stayed in bed. He didn't have to go out and fight the crowds and try to find out where Jesus was going to be and try to see him. He could have stayed home, he could have worked on his accounts. He could have gone to a nice restaurant and filled his stomach instead of braving the heat and the noise and the dirt to see this teacher from Galilee. And he didn't, when he got there to the path where Jesus would take, where he would pass by, he didn't have to climb the tree. He could have said, oh, too many people, they're all taller, I can't see, I'm going to go home. And yet he did all those things. He went out. He made the effort. And in his desire to see Christ, he'd heard so much about, he climbed a tree, a rather undignified thing for a grown man to do. And there's a crowd about. In his desire to see him. Already we see many ways in which this story could have turned out differently. Jesus, of course, is passing by, and Jesus perceives him. He's up in the tree. Jesus sees him there. He sees his desire. He hears the cry of his heart, and he calls him down from the tree, calling him by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Jesus had never been introduced to Zacchaeus, that we know of. But he calls him by name, invites him to come down. He says, I must abide at your house today. The crowd murmurs and complains that Jesus is engaging this worthless, sinful person, and yet he doesn't listen to them. He extends this invitation to Zacchaeus. And what does Zacchaeus do? He could have stayed in the tree, he could have hidden there, he could have looked around pretending Jesus was talking to somebody else. You know, being and feeling embarrassed, being put on the spot, he could have, who's Zacchaeus, you know? He could have just stayed in the tree and ignored Jesus. He could have come down and then said, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Don't bother, there's lots of other people. I just wanted to get a look at you and that's enough. But he didn't. He could have listened to the complaining of the crowd, the murmuring, and how dare this teacher go to this house of this notorious sinner. That he didn't let that stop him from responding to Jesus' invitation either. He responds. He comes down. It says he comes down joyfully and received him into his house. Jesus could have kept the encounter there on the street, but he goes to his house. He goes to that private place where he can speak to Zacchaeus one-on-one, where the crowd will not interfere, where the critics will not make their comments, pass their judgments. He engages him face-to-face. We don't know what Jesus says to him, but this encounter with Jesus has such a strong impact on Zacchaeus that he stands up, probably from the table where they're eating, and says, "Lord, behold, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." The man who's probably made much of his life a pursuit of money is so affected by encountering Jesus that he gives half away immediately to the poor and promises in accordance with the law to make restitution to any he's taken from wrongly or unjustly. Now Zacchaeus could have had Jesus into his house. He could have had a nice chat with him, ate some bread and olives, drunk some wine, thanked him for coming and let it be with that, end with that. But he didn't. He makes this declaration, this promise to deal with his goods and to do justice, to give alms. It's a sign of his repentance. And in doing this, salvation comes to his house, as Jesus declares in verse 9 of Luke 19. He says, "This day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." All these little variables, all these places where one or the other could have done differently, and yet making the choices that were made, especially Zacchaeus' choices, it culminates in his salvation through this encounter with Christ. Jesus concludes the words, this passage, with the comment, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." He comes to seek and save even this Jew that was an outcast from his people, the other people thought wasn't worthy of Jesus' time. But this encounter has a profound effect on Zacchaeus, and it fulfills Jesus' mission. As we ponder this for a moment, we realize that Jesus Christ has come to our town. He's come to seek and save us who are lost. And he's come by what? By becoming man, by being born in the flesh, by joining himself to the human race, by coming among us, by preaching to us, by dying for us, by rising on the dead to give us life, by ascending into heaven to elevate human nature to the right hand of God the Father. He's come to us, and his life, his influence, a testimony of the gospel, the testimony we find in the lives of the saints and their words should stir our curiosity and interest, not only ours, but also the interest of the world, so that we and they would want to come and see who is this Jesus who has such an effect on people. Just like Zacchaeus was drawn by the report of Jesus. And this is why Christ came, to draw people to himself, and this should be a concern to us. First of all, that we ourselves come and come fully. And secondly, that those around us might have opportunity to come. We also see that Jesus calls us to come to him and receive him into our lives. He calls us by name. He addresses us personally. He knows the name and age of each one of us, the number of hairs on our heads. And he would have to do with each of us personally, face to face. He knows what each of us needs most, and this is why the priest prays just before communion in the liturgy. We ask God to distribute, we ask Christ to distribute the holy gifts here set forth unto us all who partake for good according to the individual need of each. Christ knows our needs, and so he calls us and encounters us in the way that each of us needs most. But he calls us, in whatever way he does it, he calls us. It's up to us to respond. Like Zacchaeus, we can come down from our observation tree and follow him, or we can stay up there. We can pretend he's talking to somebody else. We can ignore him. We can close our ears like children who don't want to hear their parents, what their parents are saying to them. Or we can just flat out and say, no, thank you. The choice is ours. We should know that if we respond positively and we coming into contact with him, opening our hearts to him and opening our homes to him, that he will have an effect on us. We cannot remain in the presence of the Holy One without one of two things happening. Either one, our heart will be softened, will be led to repentance, will be changed, much as Zacchaeus was. We'll end up hardening our hearts and justifying ourselves like the Pharisees did. We can't be neutral about him. We can't be indifferent. We have to make a choice just because of who he is and who he says he is. And so as we stand on the threshold of Great Lent, the preparation for Great Lent, we're called to reflect on how Christ has come to us, how he calls us, and not only us, but the whole world to himself. And the question for us is, will we respond to his call? Will we open our hearts? Will we come down from our trees? Will we go with him? Will we take him to our house and welcome him in our lives? Or will we shut the door so, as we see in Revelation 3:20, in the letter to the Church of Laodicea, that Christ is standing outside the door and knocking on the hearts of his own people, seeing if they will open the door and let him in. Too often we close the door of our hearts to him and shut him out. But he would come in and dine with us, as he did with Zacchaeus. He would have fellowship with us. He would seek to elevate us and our life out of the mire and out of the confusion of this world. So let us rejoice this morning that God has come, that he is with us, that he's called us, that he's calling us, that he's calling those around us, that he loves us, that he's broken down the walls between God and man. The opportunity is fully there for us to enter into this relationship if we want it. He doesn't force it on us. As St. Theophon says, you know, God extends his gifts freely, but he's willing to give grace and forgiveness and all these things freely to us, but we have to want them. He responds to our desire. He responds to our decision. He responds to our effort, to our desire that manifests itself in effort to seek those good things. If we don't seek, we won't find. If we don't ask, we won't receive. If we don't knock, the door won't open to us. And if we don't open our hearts when he knocks, he won't come in. He won't break down the door. So may each of us experience this encounter with Christ such as Zacchaeus had and not fall short of that. And may each of us be willing to be God's instruments to reach those Zacchaeuses around us who need to hear the good news of Christ. Christ our God, belong all glory and worship together the Father and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages.